Easter to you all. It's wonderful to be in the house today to worship the Lord. Thank you so much to Peter and the praise band for leading us into his word this morning. There is no other place to be today than here in the house. And if you can't be with us today, we welcome you that are joining us online today. And a massive welcome if you're joining us as a visitor today. Also, it's great to see you here at Mossvale Community Church. So it is indeed a very, very special day. Today we're going to look at a couple of those moments and encounters shortly after the resurrection of Jesus. And if you're taking notes today, the title of this morning's message is The Right Place at the Right Time. Have you ever found yourself in the right place at the right time? You just so happened to get on that bus. You just so happened to take that train and sit on that seat. And that person, that special someone, just so happened to sit down beside you. Or you just so happened to open up your Bible and the verse of scripture just so happened to speak to you. Have you ever had one of those moments? Or you turn on the radio in the car and that song just speaks to you in that moment. It was the right time. You were in the right place. Or you came along to church. Someone invited you. Praise God for our friends that invite us along to church. And the message, you felt as if it had been written for you. I've had moments like that. God, that was for me. That's what I was praying yesterday. And you've answered it today. That was in the right place at the right time. Some may say coincidence. I don't think so. I'm not so sure about that. For you, if you believe that Jesus is the Savior King, if you believe that Jesus died to set you free, then you will believe that your destiny, your future is in the palm of his mighty hands. That we don't believe in coincidence, no. We believe that if we're walking with Jesus, that we're in the right place at the right time. In fact, woman to woman, spoiler alert. After Easter, we're about to embark on a brand new series. And we're going to look at that very well-known book, the book of Esther. And we're going to, oh, good, that was good. Is that you, Margaret? Hallelujah. And we're going to learn all about this woman that was born for such a time, that she happened to be in the right place at the right time. We look forward to that. And we heard from Danny, where is he, over here? We heard from Danny a couple of weeks ago when he spoke about our desire as Christ followers to be in the center of God's will for our life. If we're walking with Jesus, when we're in the center of his will, you are exactly where you are meant to be. So we're going to look at two stories today, as I said, around the resurrection. And our first encounter, our first disciple that we're going to look at this morning is called Mary Magdalene. And Mary found herself at the right place at the exact right time. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn to John's Gospel, chapter 20. Sunday morning, after the crucifixion, not all of the followers stayed for the crucifixion. We heard last week from Pastor Hugh. In fact, if we go back to Palm Sunday, not everyone who was at Palm Sunday waving their palm branches stood around and waited. They weren't there at the crucifixion. They had fled. Fear and disappointment drove them away. Esther just sung a lyric there. It stood out to me. It says, fear is a liar, telling you to run, telling you to hide. Those raw emotions of fear and of panic, they drive us away from the Lord's presence. And the Bible tells us on this morning that the disciples were held up in one room. They were locked in one room, afraid. They'd fled. They didn't stick around for the crucifixion. However, one of the followers, Mary, she was at the crucifixion. She did witness her Lord and Savior die, and she got up early. I've read this to you before. She got up early, verses 1 and 2 now of John 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it is still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Now, there are many variations of this story. Mark's Gospel records in chapter 16, Mary getting up at dawn. Well, here we read in John 20 that it is still dark. Elsewhere in Scripture, we read of Mary not being alone, as it does here, but with the other women. And if you were at the sunrise service, well done for getting up this morning that early. It was cold, but it was wonderful. But if you were there this morning, you will have heard that Mary was joined by other women. Now, we don't know exactly what took place here, but one commentator suggests that perhaps she was there alone at first, and then when she saw that the stone had been rolled away, she then returned to gather the others. Now, that fits with the story about Peter and John, because she tells them and they join her. But that's not what I want us to focus on today. What I want us to focus on is, why is she here? Why is she there at such a time in the morning? The Bible tells us the women came with their fragrant spices to anoint the body which would have started to decay. That's one reason why they were there. If we go back to the opening verse there, we establish that Mary left the room at the earliest time possible under Sabbath regulations, whether it was in the middle of the night, whether it was at dawn. But why is Mary at the tomb? Why is she not in the upper room asleep with the others? Can't say exactly. But let's ponder it for a moment. Mary loved Jesus. Do you love Jesus? She loved her Savior. She'd followed him faithfully. He had healed and he had saved this woman from a life of torment. Mary, like the others, would have been absolutely devastated. Locked up in that upper room, but locked up in their grief. They were locked up in their pain, in their sorrow, and in their despair. And maybe you're here this morning, and yes, it's a joyous day, and we've sang some amazing worship songs. But maybe you're here today, and you don't feel like praising and celebrating. Perhaps you're here today, and you know what it feels like to be locked up in your emotions. You know what it feels like to feel sorrow and pain, perhaps grief, like the disciples, filled with thoughts that are running rampant in your mind. Mary had lost the love of her life, her Savior, her teacher, the only one who truly knew her and understood her, and he never judged her. And I thought about Mary lying in her bed after the death of Jesus, tossing and turning in the night. I wonder if you know what that feels like also. Tossing and turning in the night, alone with your thoughts. But Mary, in the middle of the night, something stirred in her heart, and she believed that she had to be where Jesus was. I believe that Mary, in her darkest moment, knew the answer to her pain. And the answer to our pain is Jesus. He is the answer. In your pain right now, locked up in your raw emotions right now, Jesus, let me tell you, is the answer. We know that she arrives at the tomb. There's an empty grave. The grave clothes are there. The angels are there. She's absolutely amazed. She communicates what she has seen to the others. Then she sees what she thinks is the gardener. But of course, it's not the gardener. It's Jesus, the risen Savior. For Jesus is not dead. He is alive. Let's read from verses 15 to 18. Woman, why are you crying? He asks you the same question today in your pain. Why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she said, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned towards him and she cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Verse 18, Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. I have seen the Lord, she told them. Mary did not allow her pain, her distress, her sorrow to hold her back from being with Jesus. She responded with all of her heart. We heard that last week. We want to be a heart people. We want to be a people that respond to the Lord with all of our heart. She was in the right place, church, at the right time. What a privilege. What an honor. And what it did was it led straight to her purpose, her destiny. She became the first person to communicate that message that Jesus is not dead. He is alive. You're going to get fed up with that today. But we should never be fed up with that because Jesus is not dead. He is alive. What a privilege to communicate that good news. Mary knew that the only place to be was with Jesus. I wonder, do you feel the same? Do you know that the only place to be is with Jesus? So Mary found herself in the right place at the right time. What about you? Do you find yourself in the right place at the right time today? Perhaps not. Perhaps that's not where you've been. Perhaps recently you've been in the wrong places at the wrong time. Well, if that is you today, if you've found yourself in all the wrong places, I'd like you to consider the possibility that you may have found yourself in the wrong place, but today is the right time. Because Jesus' timing is always perfect. So let's recap. Jesus has been crucified. He's been laid in a tomb. The disciples have fled in their despair and their fear, and they're hiding out in the upper room. They're alone with their thoughts. They're grieving their master. But Mary, she responds with her heart. She goes to the tomb. She encounters the resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. And then for 40 days or so, Jesus then reveals himself to others. And many have seen him. And they're testifying once again that Jesus is not dead. Come on. I've said it 6 times. Let's try that again. Jesus is not dead. He is alive. Amen. And there is a whole mixed bag of emotions going on. You see, those that have seen him are overjoyed. They're excited. They're telling everyone, Jesus is alive. But then there's others that haven't seen him. And they're still filled with sorrow. They're still filled with pain. Then there are others that have heard the story, but they're a bit confused. They're a bit bewildered. Whole mixed bag of emotions going on. And we'll see that in the next 2 disciples that we're about to look at. This next story takes place around the same time and place in Jerusalem. Well, I say Jerusalem. It's actually 7 miles outside of Jerusalem on a road known as the Emmaus Road. And in this story, we will meet 2 disciples that find themselves in the wrong place. But we're going to look at how it's the right time. Reading Luke chapter 24, 13 to 35. I'm going to read it all to you. On the road to Emmaus. Now that same day, 2 of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and as they discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and the rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he had been the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all that took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and they told us they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Here come the angels. Then some of our companions went to the tomb." I love it. Yeah, there go the angels. Verse 24. "Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it's nearly evening,' for the day was almost over. So he stayed with them. When he was at the table with him, he took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it and began to give it to them. Their eyes were opened," amen, "and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened up the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. They found the 11, remember Judas is now dead, and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." An amazing story. Who are these two disciples? Well, it tells us there that one of them is called Cleopas. We do not know who the other walker is, but stay with me for a moment, because I mentioned earlier that at the crucifixion of Jesus, there were those that disappeared, fled in fear, but there was those who remained. And some that remained were a group of women. Let me read to you now from John 19:25. "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. So perhaps," and it's just a perhaps, just a suggestion, "but perhaps the second walker might have been Cleopas's wife." Why had they been in Jerusalem? Had they been in Jerusalem to celebrate Passover like the others? As followers of Christ, as disciples, as it said that they were, they must have felt the same as the others, absolutely overwhelmed with sadness and with grief, especially if it was Cleopas's wife, bearing in mind she was there at the crucifixion. Were they also in pain? You see, the Easter story is a story of pain. And it's a story of suffering. But let me tell you something, church. It's also a story of joy and of hope and of healing. And let me also say to you today, dear friends, that if you're here and you're hurting, and if you're in pain today, Jesus is here, and there is power in his resurrection. And the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it brings hope, and it brings deliverance, it brings freedom, and it brings joy. So in amongst our pain, and in amongst our sadness, there is hope. There is hope. Yes, his death was painful. Yes, it was heartbreaking. It was disappointing. But Jesus died so that we could have life. And we are so glad today that we are alive in him. So the disciples had this mixed bag of emotions. They believed that Christ was going to lead them to victory. It says in verse 21, they hoped that he would be the one to deliver them. So Cleopas and his travel companion, they're walking along the road. They're joined by Jesus, only they don't know it's Jesus yet. And then in the verses 19 to 24, they begin to share with Jesus all that's taking place. Yes, they're confused. Yes, they're overwhelmed. But they're looking at this guy and they're thinking, we're confused and we're overwhelmed, but what planet are you from? Why on earth do you not know what's been going on? But of course he knows. It's Jesus. He knows exactly where he's been. So what stood out to me when I read this passage afresh this Easter, and the fact that I'm saying today that they're in the wrong place, is that you've heard from your fellow disciples that Jesus is alive. People are saying that Jesus is not dead, but is alive. These are your trusted fellow companions. Now, if Jesus is alive, if there's even a glimmer of hope that our Savior is alive and in Jerusalem, then why on earth are you 7 miles out of the city? Why have you wandered away? Why aren't you where Jesus is? Ask you the same question today. Why have you wandered away? Have you been distant lately? What has caused you to flee? Is it fear, pain, sin, helplessness, hopelessness? You see, that's what they were feeling. Why are you walking away? Well, this morning I want to consider the fact that they were walking away because of their pain. You see, that's what pain does. That's what our suffering does. It blinds us at times from the truth. When you're locked up in your pain, when you're locked up in that room like the disciples were, when you're locked up in your sorrow, all you can see is your pain. You cannot see hope. They could not see hope. And hope was standing there right in front of them because hope has a name. And his name is Jesus. And Jesus was there, right with them, right in the middle of their pain. But they needed some convincing, didn't they? Verse 31, Jesus broke the bread. We're going to do that together shortly. And he gave thanks, and he gave it to them. And in that moment, they found themselves no longer in the wrong place, but in the right place. At the right time. And the Bible says that when you're in the right place at the right time, we read it there, their eyes were opened and they saw the living Savior. And in that moment when the bread was broken, they remembered, didn't they? They remembered all those times when they sat on the hills of Galilee and Jesus broke bread. When they sat and Jesus broke the bread and offered it to the hungry. Or when they sat at a meal at Martha and Mary's house. Or whether it was at the Last Supper, they remembered in that moment when the bread was broken. He is the Lord. He is our deliverer. He is the one that came to save us. Do you remember today all of those times that Jesus came through for you? Maybe you need to be reminded today of that time in the past where he came through for you. That time in the past where he reminded you that he hasn't left you. that time in the past where he whispered into your ear, that time in the past where he spoke to you through his word, that time in the past where a friend sent you a text message just at that exact moment just to confirm to you that Jesus is still with you. And sometimes we need to be reminded. Sometimes we need to be reminded that the Lord who was with us yesterday is the same Lord who's with us today, who will be with us tomorrow. And if he did it then, he's going to do it again. So if you're filled with pain today, bring it to Jesus. Allow him to open your eyes to the truth that he is alive in you. You might find yourself in the wrong place at the moment. You may have been distant lately, but let me tell you something. If you're here hearing these truths today, then you are in the right place because Jesus is here. He is with you. He never left you. He hasn't abandoned you. And he is your living Savior. Jesus, in his great mercy, he explains to the walkers all the things that had to take place. Don't you just love it when he's patient with us, when we don't get it, and yet he's slow to anger and abounding in love? So unlike Mary, who was in the right place at the right time, these two disciples were in the wrong place. Pain had blinded them from the truth. Fear had driven them away. However, our Savior came along, and he walked right beside them, and that is communion with God. So can I encourage you of these truths this Easter Sunday? If you're here in our house today or watching online, that Jesus is alive. If you've wandered off, if you found yourself in the wrong place, today's the day to get back on the right path and start to walk with Jesus again. And the passage tells us once they realized, once their eyes were opened, They recall what's just taken place. And they both look at each other and they're like, didn't our hearts not burn when we were in his presence? I don't know about you, but my heart burns, church, with a passion like no other for Jesus. Only in his presence. So where do you find yourself today? Are you in the right place at the right time? Are you here for Jesus? Are you here in search of him? When we search for him with all of our heart, the Bible says we will find him. The band can start to come back now as we consider what the Lord is saying to us today. We're going to come round the table of remembrance. We're going to break bread together today in communion. And if you're here today, and you find yourself in the right place at the right time, then perhaps your response before you take the bread and drink from the cup is to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for coming. Thank you for dying. Thank you for saving me. Thank you that my sins are forgiven. Thank you that I am no longer the person I used to be. Thank you that you call me by name like you did Mary. That is your response as you come to the table today. But maybe today you're here, and like the two on the Emmaus Road, that you've wandered off. Maybe your heart's been distant lately. As you come before the table this morning, perhaps your response is to say, Lord, may my heart burn once again with a passion for you. I believe it's all about you, Jesus. And I'm coming back today to the heart of worship. Open my eyes. Or maybe you're here today and you're hearing these truths for the first time. You're hearing for the first time today that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And whoever believes in him shall not die but live, because Jesus is not dead. He is alive. He is alive. And if that's you today, and if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, let me just share a short prayer with you just now. Maybe your response today is to pray this prayer before we take communion. Lord, I believe that you love me. I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me. Thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross for me in my place. Father, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Fill my soul. In Jesus' name and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. We're going to worship.